urban revitalization often brings to mind preservation and rehabilitation. People like the idea of saving old buildings. But the reality is, in Pennsylvania's post-industrial cities, there are many, many buildings that will never be rehabbed. Keystone Crossroads' Kate Lau Schaffner reports, before you rebuild, sometimes you have to tear down, and it helps to do so strategically.
The city of Altoona has its share of crumbling, abandoned buildings.
This is a condemned house. It's been vacant for a long time.
That's Mary Johnson, overseeing a demolition in Altoona. She manages the city's blighted property demolition program. While it may sound like a sad job to oversee the demolition of old buildings, Johnson says it's actually pretty great, because ramshackle buildings bring down area property values, and they can become dangerous.
I had one we took up down up here. The neighbors barbecued and had lunch prepared for my guys up there because they were so excited to finally get it down.
Altoona has one of the more aggressive demolition programs in the state. A few years ago, the city changed its policy to shorten the wait between identifying a problem property and tearing it down. Before, the city had to legally acquire the building before demolition. Now, it just has to make a good faith attempt to serve the property owner with a demo notice.
And once the time has elapsed on the demo notice, then we can move.
This, in effect, has cut the waiting time for a demolition from anywhere between 6 and 18 months to 3 months max. The city tears down a building every few weeks. But here's the thing. Altoona has about 1,000 blighted buildings, but that actually represents only 5% of Altoona's housing stock, which is a low rate for a Pennsylvania city. So what happens in a city where the blight problem is bigger?
If we look at a lot of these older cities, some parts of Philadelphia and some of the more distressed cities like Chester, basically one of their problems, as they've been losing population, they've been accumulating a surplus of housing that basically nobody really wants.
Alan Mullock is a fellow at the Brookings Institution. He says in places that have lost large percentages of their population, it's not as simple as tearing down every abandoned building, because there are just too many, and demolition is expensive.
The demolition might cost you $10,000, but with all the properties that you may have to knock down, that's a lot of money.
Mullock says city planners have to ask, which buildings should we demolish to get the most bang for our buck? He says, for example, it might be smarter to spend money demolishing connected buildings near an already flourishing commercial district than, say, separate properties in an area where the neighborhood fabric is weak.
You really have to look very systematically and thoughtfully at which properties in which areas you actually do demolish. And that means you have to understand the whole city so that you can make the right decisions.
And then there's the question of how to prevent blight from becoming an even bigger problem. Chris Galata heads up the Galata Group, which provides community development consulting and training.
I think there's growing recognition on the part of municipalities that it starts with code enforcement and property maintenance codes.
Baltimore is one city that's applying this big-picture strategy. The city has around 16,000 vacant properties, too many to simply tear down. Its vacants-to-value program uses mapping technology and a host of criteria, like market research and police and tax data, to decide where the excavator should go next. And it combines its demolition efforts with an aggressive code enforcement policy that includes ramped-up violation citations. For one community in Baltimore, the blighted row houses near their church couldn't get demolished quickly enough. In this YouTube video taken the day of the demolition, the church members are literally singing for joy. Kate Lau Schaffner, Keystone Crossroads.